we've been doing mostly workshops of the type we've done around the country. I was in a small group yesterday of 8 people. We had representatives from Pennsylvania, Maine, New Mexico, New York, and I think somebody from New Jersey, and that was just a small group of 8 or 9 people. So we've been walking around providing a little flyer that says to people, you're welcome to come. So we've been doing that, but I just came off the street right now because this morning and again tomorrow morning, we're doing lemonade ministry. It's very hot in Philadelphia, as it probably is where you are, and so a cold sip of lemonade starts to help us engage in conversation with the people we're meeting.
Your lemonade ministry, you did that in Cleveland as well at the Republican convention. How are the responses you're getting different at the Democratic convention, say, than the Republican convention?
Well, I can only share what I've heard about the Republican convention because Simone Campbell has been on the bus the whole time, but there are 8 of us sisters who are on for the second leg of the bus. So I wasn't on in Cleveland. But what I understand when people would be asked, what's your hope or what makes you hopeful, there was a lot of kind of shrugging the shoulders in terms of what's happening in our country. I think here I'm feeling a positive sense, kind of a more enthusiastic sense. I guess I would say, and again, this is just kind of general, but the people that I've met seem hopeful. The people who I meet who are local people tend to be a variety of people. Some of them, I can tell, are perhaps lower income, some of them with disabilities. We've even engaged some of the police officers who are, patrolling the street close to where we're set up. And they're very grateful that we're here. Many of them have heard of Nuns on the Bus. We're getting a very positive response, but I also think for them, a sense of hope.
In the workshops that you've done in Philadelphia, what are some of the people saying who are Democrats, who have something to do with this party, with this nominee? What are their concerns? How are they reacting to your Mend the Gaps proposals?
Yeah. They're very much recognizing that the gaps do exist, and they're coming out with a lot of wonderful solutions. I've been at table with people who are talking about health care. Unanimously here in Philadelphia, as well as the other places on the East Coast that I've been at, people think we need to have a single payer system. People think we need a minimum wage that's much higher. A lot of them are focusing on living wages and the ability, for example, or the inability rather, of people who have children who are in low wages to be able to afford child care and to work. Housing everywhere we go is a major issue. There's not enough of housing that's affordable to low-income people, so that's an issue. And even though we don't have Pentagon spending on our Mend the Gap agenda, it's amazing how what surfaces at almost all of the places we've been at, including here in Philadelphia, is that we spend too much money on military.
Some of the things that you're pointing out that people are telling you are things that you would not have perhaps received a supportive response from in Cleveland. For example, the minimum wage, a single-payer system for health care, less funding for the military. What are some of the sisters' thoughts about what they heard last week at the Republican convention?
I was at home in D.C., and I watched it on TV, and there's just the difference, I would say, is day and night. There was a lot of negative focus in the Republican convention on everything that's wrong with our country. And really, I would have to say very, very little by way of real solutions offered. And I think paying lip service and patronizing low and moderate income people. Again, I work in D.C., so I'm aware, for example, that the Republicans in the House just recently put out something they call, quote, a better way. Well, the better way really cuts low-income programs. It decreases taxes significantly for the wealthy. Now, they would say for everybody, but I think if I saw an analysis of of Mr. Trump's plan, I think the lowest income might receive a benefit of about $100. The wealthiest of wealthy would be more above $150,000 a year.
In a tax cut.
Yes. So their policies are inconsistent with the rhetoric of the people that I think they were trying to sell themselves to at their convention. We've done a number of site visits as well, you know, places where people can get food or housing or whatever. And for some of those people, they are attracted to Mr. Trump's can-do, I would say somewhat macho thing, I guess, but without a sense of what would his policies really be. So there isn't maybe a depth of questioning where he really stands. And I think that there's an education gap, and that's why we think it's important to do what we do. We have a side-by-side of Secretary Clinton and Mr. Trump, and some of them just simply took the side-by-side and said, this is our guy, and they were pointing to Mr. Trump. But really, if you were to ask them what their needs are and what they'd like to see, it's quite different from what his policies are.
What about what you are hearing at the Democratic convention so far the last couple of nights? What's impressed you or not?
Well, first of all, one of the things that strikes me, I know from being at home and watching on television, at the convention, the Republican convention, one of the commentators said of the over 2,000 delegates, 18 of them are African American. At the convention here, like I was able to get credentials to be at the convention itself last night, it was phenomenal in the halls. You know, I saw a Muslim and a Jewish young man hugging each other and wanting their picture taken. That coming together was quite poignant for me. The diversity of ethnicity, and there are a lot of young people. I'm standing right now in the downtown convention center where we're going to be doing our workshop this afternoon. And again, huge diversity. And also, you know, the tables that have organizations that work on some of the social issues, a lot of environmental tables, so people who care about the environment. I'm guessing if you were to look at tables at the Republican convention, and again, we didn't have credentials there, but I'm guessing they would be of a very different sort.
Well, we're now into day 3 of the Democratic convention, and this will all be over, and then people will really have to get down to the serious business of deciding who will be the next leader of the United States of America. What are you taking away with you from having seen both conventions now?
We want not only the presidential candidates, but people on the state level, the local level, we want them to sign on to our agenda. We're not, people say to us, you know, who are nuns on the bus supporting? And we say, we're not supporting anyone. We're nonpartisan, but we're asking them to support our agenda. So I think one of the things I take away is in these next 4 or 5 months before the election, a massive need for education.
Education about the issues?
About the issues, absolutely, clearly, yes. You know, it's unfortunate in our country as it is that the percentage of people who are eligible to vote, sometimes, you know, we think it's great if we've got 60%. We really need people involved. And I think particularly this time around when there's such a disparity among people, and I think somehow we really do need to mend and heal. And I guess one of my concerns is that's going to be a huge challenge after this election. No matter who wins the presidency, no matter who wins the Senate, the House, it's going to be a lot of work. But I know people in our workshops have said we need healing, we need to work together. And it's been neat to hear some of them on the local level talk about working in a bipartisan way. We need people to see that.
Some very wise observations. Thank you so much for sharing them.
Thank you so much for talking with me, Judy.
Well, good luck to you and safe travels. I'm Judy Valente.